And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. It's Food and Dining Thursday, and of course that brings in our good friend, chef, author, and syndicated columnist, Linda Gassenheimer. What about braving a potential storm, Linda? Are you prepared?
We're not going to talk about it.
Right.
Because
if we don't talk about it, it won't happen.
Right. It may not happen, and we'll be prepared, right. And we're going to enjoy ourselves.
Well, we'll just to stay aware. Youngsters are back in school now, and Linda has more information about a rather, well, ambitious and tasty program in Miami-Dade. What do you have, Linda?
It's amazing. You know, we've talked about edible gardens before, but now they have food forests. And when I mentioned it last year, somebody said to me, "What is that?" Well, we're going to find out about that. And we're going to find out how they're impacting the students in the schools and their families. So our guest has some very interesting answers and information for us. Debbie LaBelle is the manager of the Garden Program of the Education Fund. So welcome, Debbie.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And also with us is Kathy Nunnally. She's a teacher at Charles White Elementary School, and she's in charge of the gardens there. So welcome, Kathy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you both. You've brought an amazing platter for her. We're going to talk all about that. But we'd also love to hear from you, our listeners. Does your student have a school garden, or do you have some questions or suggestions about school gardens? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And radio at WLRN.org is our email.
Great. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, we're going to hear from our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and he gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. And you can read Fred's wine column in Saturday's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, you're talking about all these vegetables, so I think I will talk about the wine you would serve with them if you were not at school and if you were an adult.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's first go to Debbie LaBelle. First of all, what is a food forest?
A food forest is an expansion on the traditional, you know, small box garden. So we kind of blow that box to pieces and we make an entire area at the school edible. So everything from the trees to the bushes to the shrubs to the ground cover, everything in the area is edible.
Mm. So how does it work? I mean, it's separate from the edible garden. I mean, how are they different, the two of them?
No, it's an edible garden. It's just an edible landscape instead of an edible garden. It's just you go into an area of the school and everything there is edible. So instead of
you have to pay a lot of attention, though, to the sun and which plants want more sun and which less, to what gets planted under what.
Well, that's where a forest comes in handy, because the trees shade the other tree, the bushes, and then the bushes shade the smaller plants, and they all work together and help each other.
What are some of the bushes that are edible?
We have the roselles. We have about three or four different types of hibiscus that we're putting in, a couple different spinaches. You can do bay rums and.
Well, let's talk about some of these. Kathy, you tend some of the gardens, and so tell us, let's talk about this platter because it's beautiful. And by the way, I've put the picture up on Facebook and all, because this platter is just gorgeous. And we're going to have it. I'm holding it up so it can be on Periscope. If you're on Periscope, you can see it as well. But first of all, there's a beautiful purple flower on here. What is it?
That's called a butterfly pea. So that's a vine plant. The actual flower is edible, and the kids love it when we put it into salads because it's so bright and colorful. Or they can flavor waters with it. It has a nice sweet flavor to it.
Okay, and Kathy, you work with the children, the students in the gardens and all. How do they respond to something like this?
They are extremely excited about learning all the new things that they had never had an opportunity to do before. They love the fact that they get to grow it, and then they get to eat it, and they can take it home with them.
And so you send bags of the produce home?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
And how do the families respond to that?
Very well. They are now having food at home that these kids are going to eat that are vegetables that they've never eaten before, and maybe the parents have never tried them before.
So in school, are these snack samples, or does it wind up in the cafeteria food?
Both.
Oh, it does.
I teach PE, so I do some nutrition out in our PE classes, and then in our Harvest Club, we take the food, we pick it, and we take it into the cafeteria, and the cafeteria staff uses it in salads.
Health Foundation of South Florida has been helping us, and Department of Food and Nutrition in Miami-Dade County Schools. So we're working with the cafeteria managers in 25 of our garden schools this year, and we're putting it, we're working with the cafeteria managers and making them aware of what's growing in the gardens and how to incorporate it into their school lunches. Huh.
That purple flower, what is it again?
A butterfly pea.
It is so delicious. It's like nutty. It tastes nutty, actually.
Oh, and it attracts the butterflies.
She's eating. Bonnie's been sitting here eating all of these. There's more on that platter. And she won't let anybody have it.
Well, I thought I was the last one to get it. I'm sorry.
But there are other things on this platter that smells so delicious. I'm holding up here a red leaf. It almost looks like a maple leaf. What is this?
That is called a cranberry hibiscus, and that has got to be one of the kids' favorite leaves that we have in the schools. It's one of those bush plants, and it tastes just like a cranberry. So, you know, kids,
it's very sour, I must say.
Yeah, kids love that, those extreme flavors, and it has that little sourness to it, and
the flavor explodes in your mouth when you first bite it. And now imagine that being into a salad. Mm. And
it has a tartness to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why it's called cranberry. And then there's some other leaves. It's very tart, he's finding out.
Yes.
He's turned red in the face.
Which one is that?
The cranberry.
Okay, so what are some of the other leaves that are on there?
It does taste like.
The green leaf is a roselle, which is what they make, the calyx is what they actually make the hibiscus tea out of. But the leaf is edible as well, and it has a little bit of that sour taste mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll make you pucker a little bit.
So, and it's just a beautiful platter. Now, when you have these, you harvest these plants are there year-round. This food forest is there year-round. Who tends it? Kathy?
I do. My students do. And the staff of our school will go out and work in the garden.
Even in the summer?
Even in the summer.
Is there a lot of irrigation involved?
Basically, we tried to make it so that it grows in its habitat of South Florida so that I actually don't have to go down and water it. We allow nature's own to go ahead and grow it during the summer. But any of the vegetables that we harvest or that we plant during the year, most of them are harvested by the end of the school year.
These plants are all native to our climate, if not necessary, not necessarily to Florida. So they can take the droughts, they can take the high heat, they can take the massive amounts of rain that we get on some days. And, you know, with very little maintenance, they grow easily.
By the way, Paul is putting this on Periscope, and you can see the link for our Periscope on TC on Topical Currents Twitter.
Okay,
so you go to Twitter.
Right, and also
Topical Currents
on Facebook. But look, I'm smelling this leaf, and it is just so wonderful. Is this the bay rum?
That is a bay rum.
Smells like Old Spice.
It is actually aftershaves at one point. But it's also used for, it's edible.
And it's like a regular bay leaf.
Yeah, you would use it in soups and stews or to flavor rices. It's a natural Caribbean-based plant.
It's wonderful. Now, you have a program, Kathy, at the school, which I thought was really, really interesting, where you sit down in the cafeteria with the students. Tell us about that program.
We pick a couple of classes. I have another teacher that works with me, and we take the kids down to the cafeteria at their lunchtime. And we set it up with a tablecloth and teach them the proper settings for a table if they're going out to dinner.
This is in the school cafeteria during lunchtime. There's a tablecloth.
There's tablecloths.
The students sit there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And they actually have asked if they could do it all the time because they really, their behavior changes when they sit at this table. They're much quieter. They learn to work together and talk quietly like they're in a regular restaurant.
And what happens to the rest of the students in the cafeteria watching this?
They're wondering why they don't get a chance to do it. How come this class gets to do it? And can we do that? And can we have tablecloths all the time? So it does change their demeanor while they're in there eating.
Wow. Do we have time just for a quick, the
sure.
teacher? Yes, line one. Hello, Diane and hi, Aaliyah. You're on the air. We just have a quick 30 seconds here.
Hi, my name is Diana. I'm a teacher in Hialeah. I have a question for Kathy.
Yes.
I have a garden in my school, and I'd like to do a food forest also, but I kind of have some design constrictions. Would it be possible to come to your school and see what your design is?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
So how can I contact you?
You can contact her through the Education Fund. We run all the gardens programs, so you can always contact them through me at dlabelle@educationfund.org.
That's LABELLE.
Yes.
DLabelle, D like in David, at the Education Fund. No, not the. It's at educationfund.org.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. I hope you get to go see Kathy's and her garden. She'd love to show it to you.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break here. My guests are Debbie LaBelle, Education Fund Garden Manager, and Kathy Nunnally. She's the lead teacher at the Charles White Elementary. She's the lead teacher for the gardens. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Debbie LaBelle. She's the Education Fund Garden Manager, and Kathy Nunnally. She's a teacher at Charles White Elementary School, and she's in charge of the gardens there. They've been telling us about the edible gardens and the food forest programs in the Dade County Schools. It's been really fascinating. But now it's dinner in minutes time, and so I thought we'd do a salad since we're talking about gardening. And this one is a Chinese salad with an Asian dressing. I thought we'd have a new way to look at things. It's a quick one-dish meal, and it'll spice up your summer evening. Very tasty herbs and vegetables. So first, we're going to boil some steamed Chinese noodles. Now, you can find those in the supermarket in the produce section. So we just want to boil them for a couple of minutes and drain them. And then we'll set them aside. Heat some sesame oil in a wok or a skillet. And we're going to stir fry some cubes of rotisserie chicken. So yes, you can take cooked chicken and you can stir fry that with some red bell pepper and some shiitake or portobello mushrooms. And then I'm going to remove the wok from the heat and stir in some the noodles. And the dressing is very simple. You drizzle a mixture of soy sauce, sesame oil, and rice vinegar over the meat and noodles. Put some lettuce on a plate and spoon the meat and noodles over that. And then sprinkle it with some scallions, some cashew nuts. So simple, a quick and easy meal. And if you happen to have these wonderful gardens and everything, you can augment it with all kinds of these.
Is it your standard vinegar and oil ratio?
Not exactly. But
you
I'll
just
tell
do it
you
by
what.
Feel,
no, I'm going to tell you, Joe. You can go to dinnerinminutes.com and get the entire recipe.
Oh, you use me as a little way to get hits.
Thank you for asking that question.
How do you do it, Linda?
Dinnerinminutes.com. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And please.
Let me write that down. Dinnerinminutes.com.
Would you like to say it again? All right. So please follow me on Twitter. That's at L Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Wine with vegetables?
All right.
You think we wine writers have it easy? Ponder this. What kind of wine goes with potatoes, eggplant, hummus, celery? Or to put it another way, what vegetable would you serve with the big tannic Cabernet Sauvignon? So are you starting to feel any sympathy for us yet?
I know you're going to take care of us, Fred.
Oh, I didn't think so. Anyway, that's what Linda asked me to deal with today, so here goes. My first impulse actually was to cheat. You just add cheese to everything. Eggplant grilled with an inch of cheddar melted on top goes nicely with a soft red wine like Malbec or Pinot Noir. Or spaghetti with long simmered tomato sauce goes with a nice Chianti. But here you're sort of cheating because you're matching the sauce and not the food. And even then you can only take it so far, and eventually you have to deal with what wine goes with Linda's Asian noodle and veggie salad. And I'd say that you want something light and bright, white wine like a Pinot Grigio. Or if you throw a few incendiary Thai bird's eye chilies into the salad, which Linda sometimes does, then you need a wine that's white and a little bit sweet.
Not too often, Fred.
Not too often, yeah, I know. Right. But you're getting more braver. I'm proud of you on that.
Oh, thank you.
And so you need a wine that's white and a little sweet, like Rieslings and Chenin Blanc and things like that. Now, if you do want to serve red wine with a vegetarian dish, you can make a sandwich. I love to make this. It's a big slab of grilled portobello mushrooms with a handful of grilled bell peppers on it. Put it on a bun and then throw a little cheese on that. Or you can split the difference. And this is kind of a good tip. You can serve a delicate dry rosé wine with almost any vegetarian dish.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Bonnie?
No, I'll let you. I have a big question for you when you finish.
Okay, maybe this will answer it. What if the dish is vegan? Then all the above flies out the window, and here's why. When wines are made, they're often a little bit cloudy, so to clarify them, winemakers often drop what they call fining agents through them to pick up the particles and carry them to the bottom. And many wines are clarified with egg whites or gelatin, which are both animal products, so no more veganism. Now, here you have two choices. One, you can, and I've done this, you can Google the winery website and call its customer service line and ask how they clarified the wine, which is kind of a hassle. Or you can simply buy kosher wine, because kosher wines aren't permitted to use animal products. So they often clarify their wine with finely ground clay like bentonite or something like that. So anyway, that's how hard we wine writers have it. Do you like us now?
We always love you, Fred.
I still
always
have a question, Fred. Can I ask Fred a question?
Of course. Uh-huh.
Okay, I want to know what wine goes well with either a tropical storm or a hurricane.
All wines.
Any in a jug.
I think it doesn't matter what kind as much as how much.
Aha. Okay.
Although, actually, when I first came to Florida, I did that. And later on, after my house got torn apart by Andrew, I kind of took a little more soberly after that.
I guess. Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Hopefully, we won't even need it.
Hopefully, we won't.
Let's go back to our edible garden and our food forest. On my website, I have a picture of a food forest. These are huge. They're quite big. How is it funded? How are you doing that?
City is helping us to expand. We're in 51 elementary schools in Miami-Dade County, and 11 of our schools are now City Gardens grown with the Education Fund. And that's all.
City means Citibank.
Citibank,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, that's great. Well, what if somebody's listening in wants to maybe help with that, or sponsor a garden or something? Is that possible?
Yes, of course.
Okay, would you say no to money?
No, we're a nonprofit. We never say no.
All right, so that would be the educationfund.org. It's educationfund.org.
Yes.
Okay. And let's go back to Kathy. Kathy, you work with the students, you work in the gardens and all. How do you teach the children about the food that they're eating? What do you do?
We go out, we talk about what vegetables or what trees that we're going to be planting in there, and then we explain to them where they come from, what they're used for. And between the science teachers and myself, we will go through and we will talk about the different plants. We'll put some geography in there, teaching them where they came from and what they're good to use for.
Now, are all students involved in the garden, or just a few of the classes? How does it work?
At my school, it's the entire school. Pre-K through a fifth grade.
And do they enjoy it? Do the students enjoy it?
That's their favorite part of the day, being able to go out into the garden.
Can you plant some trees for fruit trees for maybe some fruit in a few years?
Yes, sir. Right now we have banana trees and cherry trees. We're going to have apple trees.
Bodacaba trees.
We're going to have a magic fruit tree.
Tell us that what a magic fruit tree is.
Well, the magic ahead. Fruit is more of a bush, but it's a West African bush, and you eat the berry, and it changes the glycolic proteins on your tongue so that anything sour tastes sweet. For example, that cranberry hibiscus that you just tasted and took the shock of the how sour it was, if you had the miracle fruit first, it turns it super sweet.
Wow, that's so. If you had that before anything,
we've done this a while back.
I remember
these berries, yeah. And you eat the berry, and everything else tastes sweet after that.
Yeah. But it's an amazing science lesson for the kids in the elementary schools. How you know, it a simple thing like a berry can change those taste profiles so dramatically.
And I understand you send some of this produce home.
Yes, ma'am. We grow it. We have a harvest club. Our kids will harvest it out of the garden, and then we will set up a table, and the parents can come in and choose what they'd like to take home with them. We bag it up for them, and they get to take it home no cost to them.
And who can say no to a kid when they're asking mom to bring home fresh fruit and vegetables?
Really?
Right? Exactly. No. And are you planning to expand to other schools?
Right now, we just have the 11 food forest gardens.
But you have 51 schools that
City is helping to fund all 51 of our schools. And hopefully with future funding, we can start expanding to more food forests in coming years. So fingers crossed.
You're not saying that you're looking for funding, right?
I never say no.
And, well, this is really fascinating. Are you going to expand, thinking of doing it in middle school, or is it only elementary schools?
Our studies have shown that hitting elementary school kids, the earlier that you start, the more of an impact you have.
Okay, right. Well, there's so many more questions, but we're out of time. Really tasty week. Debbie LaBelle, Education Fund Garden Manager, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Kathy Nunley, teacher at Charles White Elementary School. She's in charge of the gardens, and thank you for joining us and for bringing these wonderful
thank
herbs
you, yes.
for us to taste.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I'm wishing you both a very good, wonderful, and prosperous, productive school year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you. Joe Cooper and Bonnie Berman, great to
thank
be with you.
Linda.
Fred Tasker, great
and
advice
Fred.
As always.
Always a pleasure.
Next week, we'll be talking about Labor Day festivities with Chef Michael Schwartz and Chef Daniel Ramirez. They have some fun food ideas for us. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.